You know, Peter, I have this image of you huddled by a fire in your cottage in Sapley, England, listening to RCI, sometimes fulminating at what you hear, or sometimes enjoying what you hear, and immediately preparing a response to what you hear. Is that an accurate picture?
No, the first thing is that it's not a cottage. It's a chalet bungalow.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly enough, it's southward facing, and on the south facing side of the bungalow, the sort of roof as it were, we've got some solar panels, and I'm making use of that. And as far as the listening is concerned, now that you're on the internet, I have a little session first thing in the morning when I listen into some of the earlier screeds, and then at certain times I'll make comments on individual ones. Other times I may not, but then on a weekly basis I just send an email to you and Mark and the team just on observations over here which may or may not have any connections with you over there in Canada.
Well, you have been maybe perhaps the most loyal listener to RCI of anybody around the world. Where did you first discover RCI? How and when did you discover RCI?
Oh, it's way back in 1960s probably, because originally I got interested in shortwave radio, and this was the broadcast stations, because my father was an electrical engineer and he had a really good radio, which was pre-war, and that was a Halicraft or Skycraft, and that went right the way through the shortwave band. And at some stage I started knob twiddling, and two of the main stations I remember finding was Radio Canada and Radio Australia, and I used to listen to both of you. And as I say, one of the things I've still got is a little card that I got from Pip Duke, Dunk, Simone as well, and I've forgotten the third person's name at the moment, but it was all to do with the time when you had the Shortwave Listener's Corner.
Ian McFarland? Ian McFarland?
Probably was, yes. And then there was also somebody else who came out with a bit of a country and western, 5 or 10 minutes. And I used to listen to that as well. And this, again, was on the old shortwave before this thing called internet arrived.
What comes to your mind when you hear the words Radio Canada International and 70th anniversary?
Well, basically, nothing specific as that. It's a case that what I find myself doing is just thinking about the fact that I did visit you at the skyscraper building down there in Montreal when I was on a holiday. But as far as the 70th, well, of course, it's a case of things generally about how radio's changed over the years. And one example would be when it comes to reporting accounts of what's going on around the world, when they used to use the old telephone system, and therefore the message that came through was crackly by the time it was rebroadcast. Then later on, when they did manage to get messages came through on the tape, and then subsequently when they started to increase the facility to contact from locations around the world back to your HQ, making use of the satellite, and now, of course, all the fiber optics which cover the world.
What keeps you coming back to RCI?
I've got an interest in knowing what's going on around the world, and I listen to various radio stations. Yours is one of them. And the idea is to, A, hear what's going on around the world, and B, hear how they report it from different parts of the world. So you and Australia and NHK Japan and another station in South Africa may report it in a different fashion, each of you, compared with the BBC World Service, the old General Overseas Service. And consequently, I want to know what's going on. In the kitchen, I've got a wall map of the whole of the world, so I know where these countries are, and then I can pinpoint them. And there are so many happenings that are going on. Some are catastrophic, some are man-made, some are natural, and it's a mixture of finding out what's going on where, how it may or may not affect us, and the feedback from it all.
What marks Canadian news for you? What's its marker?
Well, surprisingly enough, one of the things that fascinated me, and I was rather intrigued that when I was over there in 2013, Eilish Quinn was in the studio, because one of the things I'd been listening to so often was the Eye on the Arctic, and she'd even had quite a long trip at one stage with Le Grunt. And therefore, keeping in touch with things like that that other people may not think about. And when you suddenly realize you've got this new area called Nunavut, and being able to pick up these various things. And then, of course, other things that come up, such as claims on the natural resources undersea as you're going towards the Arctic Circle.
Well, Elise sends her love. She's a major fan of yours. And in fact, the picture we're going to use with this interview is the two of you standing in the RCI office. And she sends a major hello to you today. She's lovely.
I know, because it's been sort of fun. It's such a pleasant surprise meeting up with her when I happen to turn up, because she's not one of the sort of regular daily team, but she does have a Friday effort, and therefore it's one of the things I'm looking for. And whereas I may not necessarily listen to the voice when there's a voiceover as well, I normally do so with Iris as far as that one's concerned. And, of course, the other thing that fascinates me about Canada as such, and that was when I did my trip last year, because having left Kamloops on the way to Vancouver and Victoria, I went through a place called Ashcroft, and that had fascinated me indeed. And I actually made contact with the village there, the township, because I'd found that place out before my father had his 100th birthday, and that was one of the other things. When he had his 100th birthday, he got his card from the Queen and the card from Ashcroft, B.C., and that, again, really tickled him.
Can you...
There's so much to see about Canada and how it varies from one area to another. And how I realize that when I'm comparing the temperatures in different parts of Canada on a daily basis, how they vary from one side to another. So often it's Edmonton, which is one of the coldest ones that I've been through, and then other times it may be somewhere else. But it's supposed to be fairly mild as far as Toronto is concerned because of the lakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, fairly mild. What's the weather like in Sapley, England now?
At the moment, it is a nice, fairly warm at the moment, a sunny, clear day, but with the clear sky, it meant to say that the temperature dropped down to about freezing point, and therefore there was a hint of ice on the bird bath when I went out first thing this morning to feed the birds. But for the rest of the time, no. And, of course, we notice it more than you do, because I think we're a bit further north. The days are getting longer, and as we get towards the equinox, because I think we're further north than you, because we're 50 degrees north. I don't know what you are in Montreal. You're about, 45, is it?
I'm not sure. All I know is that 45 is the magic number, because that seems to be the temperature perpetually here in the minus bracket. Hey, what's your favorite thing about Canadians? Because you are an aficionado of the world and of Canadians. What tickles you about Canadians the most?
I don't think anything in particular. One thing that I remember was, unfortunately, I didn't manage to follow it up, but I suddenly found I'd got a distant cousin out there in Winnipeg, and she was a school teacher. And then after she retired to Vancouver, what I'd been wondering about was the possibility of getting across to see her. But that was so many years ago that I didn't decide to take a trip like that on my own. right the way across there. But at the moment, it's just a case of it's so much of everything. You've got such a conglomeration of people, and it's so widespread, and the way the countryside varies from one place to another, because it, looking at maps, in other words, you can see where in some areas you've got all the lakes, and then it's a case of to what extent you've got it. And is it here Yonkers Lane or something, which is the one that starts in Toronto and goes all the way up north and is one of the longest roads in the world, 500 miles or something. So it certainly makes me think about the various characteristics which make Canada somewhere different, and we don't want it to be lost in the shadow of the United States.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this. I believe I read this somewhere. It may not still apply, that 90% of the Canadian population lives within 100 miles of the U.S. border.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, because looking at the maps I've got, was one thing I have managed to do is get a sort of province-by-province map, and you can see how they're all fairly close at the southern side, and therefore you've got far fewer people, etc., in the northern parts. And, of course, it's a case of cross-border trading where you can do it.
You've been listening since for over 50 years now.
Yes.
What is any one particular highlight stand out in your mind from all the shows that you have listened to on RCI?
Well, I won't say it was a highlight. It was a sad situation, lackmagantic.
Ah.
The reason was that a month before that happened, I went through there on a coach tour when I was doing the tour, which finished up at your location at RCI.
Let me just interrupt for a second for people that don't know. Lac-Mégantic is a town out in the eastern townships of Quebec that had a runaway train run into the center of town and basically destroy the town along with over 40 lives, I believe. And that was right when you were here, right? That was 2 years ago.
It was a month after I was there, and one of the things I did within 24 hours of hearing about it was to find an email address and sent off, as it were, an email message of condolence to the mayor of Lac-Mégantic after that disaster at the northern end of the lake itself, because the coach tour that I was on called in there, and we had a lunchtime break, and then after that we came down the south side of it, almost down to the border, so only a stone's throw from the border of the States, before we were then making our way across towards Magog, and that amused me as well, because here in Cambridge, you've got a place called Gog and Magog Hills. And there, Magog is the name that one of the places that I stayed at before I finished up in Montreal. But certainly I found it quite impressive looking around all this scenery when I was in Quebec City.
Well, you know, you see, this is what makes radio so wonderful and international radio so wonderful, because I have a house out in Magog. So you have passed within very short distance of my house out there.
My apologies for not calling in that day.
Well, it's okay. I was probably playing tennis on the tennis court and collapsing. So listen.
You were having a lunch break.
Lunch break.
At that place before coming on.
Listen, I can't think of anybody that I would like to have to be wished happy birthday by more than you. It's 70th anniversary, so please, may I ask you for from your soul to wish us happy birthday. How would you do that?
Oh, what I'd probably try and do is try and compose some verse and then send it off to you. It's one of the things I've done before now, and it's like saying that I write down the side of a page, Radio Canada International, and then with those letters, start off at each line with the first one. So starting off, radio is so good, Next line, it'd be with an A, the third D, always appreciated, and then D develops my mind, and I'm sort of going on composing this line, and it's all based on that, as it were, Flagstaff, Radio Canada International. Do you want me to do something along those lines and get it off to you?
Well, can you don't have one off the top of your head right now, eh? Because, I mean,
I can't do it off the top of my head, but on the other hand, if I can fit it in when I've in a situation where I want to do something and I can't, I can probably do that when I'm stuck on a bus, because at the moment I'm a county councillor and I have to go regularly from Huntingdon to Cambridge. Cambridge, England, and not Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I've got to make use of the bus as a workstation. So I'm reading up all the screeds about meetings, for example, the one I've got to go to tomorrow. And another thought, when I think about it, Huntingdon, province of Quebec, to the southwest of Montreal, and by Jove, I do not like that mayor, who said he was quite happy to kill cats. And I sent, I think, a comment off to yourselves at RCI when that item came up, saying how much myself, Huntingdon, England, disputes that attitude of a Huntingdon, Quebec mayor.
You know what? We appreciate your emails and now and the blogging that you participate in. You have been so loyal, and I just want to thank you for your support, and I hope I was going to say something really trite, like I hope we can go on another 70 years, but both of us know we're not going to make it that far. But at least another decade, Peter.
And what I may try and do at some stage is try and get another trip across to some place called Canada.
Okay, in Saint-Agathe. Okay. Hey, have a great day, and I hope the construction on your house proceeds as planned.
Well, I'd hope the background noise at times hasn't affected this transcript. But anyway, certainly I've enjoyed the little chat, and I didn't prepare myself with any ideas about what to talk about. It's just a case of how it's come out.
Well, it came out just fine, Peter, and stay warm. That's what we say in Canada, stay warm.
Yes, and this is one thing I was finding out about Canada, how if you can get underground in Montreal, you're not worried about the 30-foot of snow or whatever it is out there on top, because once you get underground, you get lost anyway, going from one group of shops to another group of shops, and when you do actually come out to the surface, you don't know where you are, because you cross so many roads and metro lines probably as you progress right the way across the place, because it is quite a city. And of course, thinking about it, I now realize that it is just the English translation of the Royal Mount.
That's right. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for your time and the love you've sent our way all these years. Thank you, sir.
I'll be remaining as usual at the weekend.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye tonight. 73s and for the lasses, including Alice, 88, if she knows what that means, and she probably doesn't, so I'll have translated. And that's love and kisses.
Okay.
Radio amateur expression, and that's intended for herself. Cheers to you all.